have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music.
Hi, I'm Dr. Jerry Green. Welcome to Open Mic with Bishop Ernest E. Richard and Company. We have an awesome show lined up for you tonight as the Bishop tackles kingdom issues and current events. But first, let's receive First Lady Sharon Richard with her faithful financial moments. Good evening, First Lady.
Good evening, Jerry. This is Sharon Richard with your faithful financing moment. Do you have difficulty being content with the blessings that God has already given you? One of the biggest challenges that we face is learning to be content with what we have. Many find it uncomfortable to watch someone they know drive a new car when the car they are driving is 10 years old, or they envy the home of a neighbor. Contentment is an important element in achieving alignment with God with respect to managing your finances. If you are struggling with being content, there are some things that you can do to change that. Prayer and meditation with God about your desire to be content is the first step in achieving a spirit of contentment. In Mark 11, verse 24, Jesus tells us, "Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours." Once you have done that, you must begin to transition to a new way of thinking about the things of this world. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 8, Paul advises us to lower our expectations to the essentials of food and clothing. Some time ago, a pastor gave a sermon entitled, "He Has Done Enough." His point was that if God didn't do anything else for him, he had already done enough. I believe that if each of us truly reflected on all God has done for us and are truly thankful to him for what he has done, we would realize that if he did nothing else for us, he has done enough. We must also let go of the thought that increased income will bring contentment. In Luke 3, verse 14, John the Baptist advises that we be content with our pay. Many of us believe that if we could only increase our income, life would be so much better. This emphasis on additional income as a necessity is misleading and will likely cause us to make decisions that are ultimately not in line with God's plans for us. True contentment results from a relationship with God. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 tells us, "Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, 'Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you.'" Financial contentment really is not about the money. It's about drawing close to God, who promised to give us what we need, and to trust him with what we think we lack. As we strengthen our relationship with God, it is through his strength and a peace that only he can provide that we are able to find contentment in every situation. This is Sharon Richard with your Faithful Financing Moment. Up next, Nina Taylor with your Gospel News, followed by Open Mic with the Bishop with your host, Bishop Ernest E. Richard, Jr.
How you doing, everybody? I'm Nina Taylor with this week's Gospel News. As a longtime member of the Williams Brothers, the gospel group founded in 1960 by their father, Leon Pop Williams, Melvin Williams is also known for his solo releases. The Mississippi native made his solo debut in 1988 with Back to the Cross, for which he wrote most of the material with his siblings. The album peaked at number 6 on Billboard's gospel charts. Williams' later solo releases were issued on BlackBerry, the label founded with his younger brother, Doug. Among them were Never Seen Your Face, issued in 1998, and Crazy Like Love, and Love Like Crazy, both of which were issued on the same day in 2007. In 2017, he released Where I Started From. Melvin Williams' work has been acknowledged with many Grammy nominations and stellar awards. Doug Williams is a contemporary gospel singer, songwriter, and producer from a longtime Billboard charting musical family. He began professionally as a young child in the late 1950s with what would become the Williams Brothers. Doug and his brothers, Leonard, Melvin, and their cousin Henry Green, formed the group The Williams Brothers. They released over 40 albums and were inducted into the International Gospel Music Hall of Fame. As a solo artist, Doug Williams found critical and commercial success from his very first album in 1995, Heart Songs, released by his family's BlackBerry Records. He was nominated for Best Contemporary R&B Gospel Album at the next year's Grammys and made it to the top 20 of the Billboard Gospel Albums chart. He also found ongoing work as a producer on albums by gospel artists including, but not limited to, the Mighty Clouds of Joy, the Jackson Southerners, and Willie Norwood. In 1997, he released an album called Duets with his brother Melvin and a second solo album, When Mercy Found Me, followed in 1999. They both hit the U.S. gospel charts. Duets 2 arrived in 2004, and a live album, simply entitled Live, was issued in 2009. In the meantime, Williams continued to work behind the scenes in the gospel industry, contributing to song production and performances to other artists' albums and running his family's record label. In late 2015, the passionate ballad All of Me appeared on the album Crossover, which was released in mid-2016. And after 28 years of heading the label, Grammy Award-winning Doug Williams is officially retired from his role as president and CEO of BlackBerry Records. That went into effect back in 2019. Doug Williams will continue his involvement in the music industry. He still has passion for singing and songwriting and producing. The Southern gospel group, the Williams Brothers, alternatively known as the Little Williams Brothers and the Sensational Williams Brothers, again founded in 1960 in Smithdale, Mississippi, inspired by fellow gospel groups like the Dixie Hummingbirds and the Mighty Clouds of Joy. It was 1974, and the album was called What's Wrong with People Today. Throughout the 80s, the group released albums for record labels like Savoy, Myrrh, and Malico. 1985's Blessed, which hit number one. In 1992, the group founded BlackBerry Records. From the early 1990s and throughout the mid-2010s, they released over two dozen albums and maintained their presence on the gospel charts with releases like 1994's chart-topping Grammy Award-nominated In This Place, in 2003's Still Here, and 2009's Grammy-nominated The Journey Continues. Their work has been rewarded with almost 20 stellar awards and numerous nominations for Dove Awards. Together and individually, they've collaborated with the likes of The Winans, Stevie Wonder, Rance Allen, and John P. Key. In 2017, they returned to the studio for the album Timeless, which featured the hit single What God Does. Congratulations to gospel recording artist Tyler Showers, who recently married. Here's this week's top 10 gospel songs. Number 10, You've Been Good to Me, the Cardi Cortez. 9, Finished, Tamela Mann. 8, I Still Have You, Smokey Norville. 7, Here Comes the Joy, Dietrich Haddon. 6, Goodness of God, CeCe Winans. 5, Lord I Hear You, Lucinda Moore. 4, Thankful, J.J. Harrison. 3, Your World, Jonathan McReynolds. Number 2, Call on the Name by Marcus Jordan. And our new number 1 song, up from number 3, is Ty Trippett with New. Well, that's your top 10 songs and your gospel news. I'm Nina Taylor. Let's get back to more great gospel music on this great station. Hello, I'm Nina Taylor. Welcome to Open Mic with Bishop Ernest E. Richard and Company. This show tackles kingdom issues and current events from a biblical perspective. Now, let's join Bishop and Company for today's discussion. Good evening, Bishop.
Good evening, and thank you for joining us, amen, for Open Mic. I am not Bishop Richard, amen, but I am Pastor Henderson, amen, and while we're waiting for him to come in, we know that he will be doing this. Amen,
I was talking,
amen.
And I had no idea that I was muted, and it wasn't Kimmy's muting. My own phone self-muted itself. I want to throw my phone out the window, but, you know, to God be the glory, we are here. But you go ahead and I'm going to need you to get the scriptures, and I'm going to come right here. So let's find out who you are here. Besides yourself and myself, who else is joining us today? I do apologize, folks. I was going off at the – I'm running off at the mouth and didn't even realize I was even muted. I should have checked my own phone first. But bless God. Who's with us tonight? Who is sharing with us in tonight's panel discussion? Glory to God. All right. We got silence, which means nobody has joined us, so it looks like it's going to be just you and I tonight, my dear sister. I'm traveling, so I'm going to really put the show in your hands to carry us. We do have scripture. We've been talking about the power of the seed for the last 2 or 3 weeks, and now we want to do a little shifting because sometimes, you know, I know you and I aren't farmers, Pastor Henderson, but we have learned a little something about farming, and we did discover that you've got to have a certain type of ground to be able to sow seed into if you are looking for a harvest. And so tonight we want to take time. I don't know if you want to go in Mark chapter 4, if you want to go in Matthew chapter 13 or Luke chapter 8, and we want to talk about the four parcels of ground and the seed that we sow into these particular types of ground, what they represent, who they represent. We want to make double sure that tonight people understand that you can be, some people think they're good ground, sis, but the truth of the matter is there are certain things in their life that take them away from walking in the realm of that good ground, but we're going to help them correct that tonight. Mm-hmm. So let me go ahead and pray, and whatever the Lord scripture, that's where we're jumping off from, and I expect a high time in the Holy Ghost. I do not know about you, so let us get started. Precious Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We bless you. We give you glory. We give you honor. We give you praise. We magnify your name. God, this beautiful day that you've given to us, the very fact that we are among the living, Father God, is proof of your love, your mercy, your grace, your joy, and your concern over each and every one of us. And it also tells us that we have yet that much more work that needs to get done. Now, Father, as we settle down into this podcast, we need your hand to be upon us. Holy Spirit, take complete and undeniable control as we move forward in the things that we may talk about tonight. Open thou our eyes that we may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Break up the fountains of the deep, God. Allow us to hear what thus saith thee through thy word. Lord, we need to eat tonight. We need to feast off of this word. And so, God, as we put this show and this podcast into your charge and into your care, we bind every disturbing, destructive spirit, every spirit that may try to create a distraction, we cancel you now in the name of Jesus. We loose the angels of the Lord to go up and down and to and fro and throughout the airwaves and to help us to be able to effectively minister according to your word. Do this for us. We'll be ever so grateful to give thy name the praise, the glory, and the honor, for it's in the precious name of Jesus we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen and amen. Our scripture reading tonight will be found in Matthew, the 13th chapter, and I'm going to begin with verse 3. Again, that's Matthew, the 13th chapter, beginning with verse 3. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow, and when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them, and some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Then some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. I read in your hearing Matthew, the 13th chapter, verses 1 through 8.
Amen. We thank God for the reading. What we want to do, as I said in the outset, you and I are not farmers particularly. We don't do this for a living. I don't know if you've ever done it. I've never done it, but my grandparents owned a farm at one time, so I got a chance to see a lot of what they had to do. And one of the things I noticed, my grandfather, before he planted seed, had to turn around and till the ground or get the ground conditioned so that it would be able to receive the seed. What my grandfather used to do is he would take his horse or his mule, and he would go through the field, and he would plow the field. And as he was plowing the field, he would turn over the dirt and any rocks, any stubble, any roots, anything, grass, bugs, whatever. He would take chemicals in some cases and kind of sterilize the ground, not necessarily sterilize the ground, but he would prepare the ground. He would use compost or cow manure and things of that nature to enrich the soil so that when he got to the place where he was ready to actually place the seed in the ground, he would then take a sharp sickle on a plow and he would dig about a 3 to 6 inch trench, and he would go through that particular trench, and he would drop seed in those trenches, and then he would come behind it and he would bury it. From that point on, he began watering, and he watered 2, 3, maybe 4 times in a week until he started getting a stalk coming up out of the ground. And my grandfather grew corn, he grew tobacco, he grew okra and things of that nature, tomatoes and all that kind of stuff. And I don't mean a couple of plants here and there, I'm talking massive, big fields full of whatever it is that he wanted. So there's something that I want to throw out there before we start talking about the seed, because there are 4 types of seed that we're going to deal with. And the first type of seed that we are going to deal with is that when it says there that some fell on hard ground, or, you know, that seed represents your heart's condition. I need to point this out. Jesus actually is the farmer in this parable. The seed or the ground that he's sowing into is the human heart. There are 4 types of ground that we as human beings can possibly be. We can either be the hard-hearted, we can be the crowded heart, we could be that, and I'm trying to find a word to describe that type of ground, the thorny heart. In other words, the seed could fall, but it may not have much earth with which it has to deal with. Or we can be that good heart. Sis, all I'm trying to get to right here as I give this open dissertation is the very fact that there are some principles that have to be in place if we are going to be sowers. We have to recognize that there has to be preparation of the ground first. When you decide not to prepare the ground, you're going to come up with whatever that seed has the ability to produce based on the ground that you're sowing in. So without further ado, let me give you an opportunity, a chance to share, and then we'll go from there and we'll begin talking about this subject matter. What have you got to say?
Yes, and that ground is so very important, and that, as you said so beautifully, that ground is the condition of one's heart. And there are many different hearts who receive the word, and there are many different types of ways that you can receive the word and how people respond to the word. And it's so important that we respond to the word correctly, because how we respond to the word is going to determine the harvest that we receive. So if we reject the word, then we will not have the harvest that we may desire, even though we may desire it, but because the heart was not prepared to receive it. So there are 2 responses. If we wanted to just boil it all down to just 2 things, we could say a positive response and a negative response, and those all reflect 4 conditions of the heart that we are about to talk about on tonight. And as you're listening tonight, try to identify where you are, and if you find that yourself is in maybe the hard or the shallow or the crowded ground, then you want to make, you know, changes so that seed would be the best ground to bring forth that seed of harvest, so you can bring forth 100-fold, 60-fold, or 30-fold. So tonight, as you're listening, start thinking about where do I find, what kind of heart do I have, and what do I need to cultivate so that I can be a heart that's going to bring forth that 100-fold. In Jesus' name.
Amen, amen. And so let's deal with this. A sower went out to sow. And as I already said, we are doing this from the spiritual aspect. The sower at this particular point is the word of God. Jesus is actually the sower. He came down here to show us the way of his Father, the heart of his Father, the will of his Father, and to be able to reproduce according to what his father has expectation of him. So he comes down here and spends 33 1/3 years here on the face of this earth teaching us about the love of God, about the power of God, about the lifestyle that God is looking for us to live. And so in sharing with us biblical principles, I'd like to go back to Matthew 5, and then I'd like to talk about the Beatitudes, but I'm not going to get into each and every individual Beatitude because Jesus talked about so many different Beatitudes. He said you should be like this. This is the attitude that you ought to have. Now, then, like you said, there are people who are hard-hearted. The Bible talks about the heart. It first of all says that the heart's desperately wicked, that it's vile, that it's corrupt. Who can know it? Only God understands that heart, and only God can know the condition of that heart in its true value. And so here we are in a situation where we're going to first of all deal with that heart that's hard. Sis, I don't know if you've noticed this. I know you didn't read the rest of the verses, but we're going to talk from the verses that you did not read. And what we're going to say first is when you're dealing with that, no, we don't have to read it. We can go back and read it later because we're going to get back to it in a short while as we make our way through. When you're dealing with the hard heart, what's one of the first things that you see when you talk about a person who is hard-hearted towards the word? What's one of the first traits that you notice, that you take note of? I mean, just right off the top of your head, what comes to your mind when you talk about a person that's hard-hearted toward the word? And I mean, I could say atheist. Go ahead.
Yes, the atheist, the agnostic, that one that just refused to accept the word, so they are rejecting the word, and they don't want to receive it. They just they're enemy to the cross. They're enemy to the word. They're oppositional because they refuse to accept the good news of Jesus Christ. So their heart has become hardened because of their sins, and because of their sins ever before them, they're rejecting anything about righteousness. They're rejecting anything about holiness. They're rejecting anything that's going to cause their heart to change toward God, because they have rejected God in their heart. So
the Bible says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And when they believe there is no God, they will turn a deaf ear to the word of God. They think that preachers and Christians in general are foolish people. They think that, you know, when they come to church and see you praising the Lord and giving God glory and honoring him and worshiping him and sitting intently listening to his word, they think you're stupid. They think you're crazy. They think you ain't got good sense, you know. And then the first thing, their first excuse is, well, man wrote the Bible. Well, excuse me, you left out one small part. It was, in fact, God, by way of the Holy Spirit, who inspired man to write that Bible. Man didn't just sit down and come up with this on his own. People keep forgetting, sis. When God said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness, we were made in the express image of God, which means that before Adam and Eve sinned and fell and created treason and put us in the condition that we're in now, we were an extremely intelligent being. We had faith of God, the faith like God. We could speak things into existence, and those things had to happen because we were living on pure faith. We had we didn't know anything about good and evil. We didn't know anything about right and wrong. All we knew was God because of that strong connection that we had. So getting back to that hard heart, and I'm going to give you a chance because I feel like we're on fire for this one tonight. Oh, I just want to have a great time in the Holy Ghost. I don't know what's wrong with me these days, but it's like I want to preach all the time all of a sudden. But so how about those individuals that are forced by their parents to go to church, or those people, their spouse says go to church or else, or those individuals, they feel like they're being held hostage, being brought into the house of the Lord. Well, I don't know why they invited me to come in here. I didn't want to be here today anyway. I wanted to just stay home and sleep. I work 6 days a week. I don't get much rest. God will understand my heart. Yeah, God will understand that you don't want to do what you're supposed to do. That's what God understands. Come on, sis. Let me not hog up the show tonight. Come on, talk to me.
Yes. And I believe we have someone else on with us tonight as well. But he's taking place, God. Amen. And, you know, that heart, right. And it's the enemy's job is to make you to think that you don't need the word of God, or that you don't need God. And because he fell out of fellowship with God, his job is to bring everybody else out of fellowship with God. So he hates the thought that you ever have a desire for God and the things of God. So every opportunity he gets, the Bible says the enemy is a thief. He cometh but to kill, steal, and destroy. And if he can steal that seed of God's word, he can steal that desire out of your heart for God. He comes quickly to do that. And so that's why we have to be so careful that we don't allow our heart to become hard. We don't allow the ground of our heart to become rejected God in any way, even when it means sacrificing what we think we want to do. Because anytime you become opposing to the word of God, then it opens the door for the enemy to come in and try to snatch that word. Snatch that. So we want to keep that door closed so that our heart can stay firm, can stay good ground for the Lord.
Yes. Yes. Now, you said there was somebody else on. Who else do we have with us tonight?
Sister G. Johnson, praises to everyone.
Blessings to you, my dear sister. How are you tonight?
Bless you.
I'm holding on by faith.
Come on, talk to us. If the enemy got you moving slow, we're going to pray that slowness out today because we on fire for God. We are not slowing down. This train don't stop. It's the Acela Express.
Amen.
We go on from here to glory. Bless his great
Amen.
Name.
Amen.
Amen. We're talking about
yes.
that hard heart, that individual who has a hard heart, who refuses to adhere to the word of God, who refuses to heed to the word of God, who feels like they are not, you know, they're exempt from having to hear what the word has to say. Anything you want to add to this conversation at this point, or do you just want to listen for a little while?
Just want to listen for a little while.
Okay, well, when you feel like you got something to contribute, just say, excuse me, can I say something? And we got you covered. We'll let you in, coach. Let me in, coach. getting back to this whole thing about the hard-heartedness. And I'm discovering, even as a pastor, Pastor Henderson, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You can tell
yes.
those people who want what God has versus those
yes.
people. There are people who want the gifts, but they don't want the giver of the gifts. And it's a sad
yes.
thing
yes.
that we got people who are in that condition. They just feel like, you know, they can get the blessing of the Lord and they don't have to do anything else, that they don't have to surrender their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't have to obey God. They don't have to walk in the word. And when we talk about those who are not walking in the word and not adhering to the word, the Bible turns around and talks about six things that God hates, and one is an abomination unto him. And you can go read that in Proverbs chapter 6. We're not going to cover that in its entirety. But we're just going to make mention of it because when we talk about sowing seed and you're sowing seed into that hard ground, into that pathway, or sowing seed by the quote-unquote wayside, what you are looking at in that particular instance is you're looking at dry, unprepared parcel of ground, meaning the heart being hard toward the things of God, and the seed has no way to be buried. The seed has no way to get enough depth so it can go and become what it needs to be. We said this last week, Pastor Henderson. Sometimes we got to
yeah.
stop and look. God has great potential in each and every one of us, and many of us cannot see who we are because we don't allow the Spirit of God to reveal to us who we are. If you look at the mustard seed, the smallest seed in the entire generation of seeds, yet it produces a great plant. But now look at yourself spiritually. If you can't see yourself as God sees you, more than a conqueror, accepted in the beloved, the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, successful, if you can't see yourself as one who can overcome any situation or any circumstance, if you can't see yourself as one who walks with the king, if you can't see yourself as one who has the tongue of the learned, that you can speak a word unto the weary in that due season, if you can't see yourself like that, then you are, first of all, doing yourself a disservice because you do not see what's beneath the surface. On the surface, you look like somebody that can't do anything. But underneath, there is great potential waiting to be released, waiting to be put into the atmosphere, waiting for God to nurture and to manifest. What do you got to say to that, Pastor?
Yes. Yes, I totally agree. You're so on with that. As you were talking, I was thinking about the battle of the image. And it's the enemy's job is to get you to see yourself less than who God created you to be.
Yes.
So that's why he has all these distractions and on social media and all these different mediums that you get to look in at all these different things and you try to mimic somebody else or you think that you try to match yourself up and line yourself up with somebody else and then you begin to say, well, you're not as pretty as this person, you can't do this and you're not enough. And the enemy always wants to make you feel that you're not enough because when he begins to compare you to others because you're looking at all these distractions. And, you know, some of our young people are so caught up, and not just young people, but people in general are so caught up with the media.
Mm-hmm.
And with the social media,
yes.
Enjoy and comparing themselves and trying to become that image that they're seeing.
Mm-hmm.
And when they do that, they forsake that they already are made in the image of God. And so no longer are they
Come
trying
on.
To imitate the image of God. They're trying to imitate the image of who they saw on social media. That is the destruction
mm-hmm.
of the enemy. That causes the heart to become hardened. So because the more you crave
mm-hmm.
after, the more you go after that image on social media, the minute you go after those images that are not of God, your heart becomes hardened because no longer you're chasing the desires of God, you're chasing the desires of the world, and that is the distraction
mm-hmm.
that the enemy draws you away from the things of God so that the world will be ineffective in your life. And so we want to watch what we allow our lives to get caught
mm-hmm.
up into so that our heart stays in the right condition for the seed of
mm-hmm.
God's word. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Now, I'm hearing other voices in the background, and I do want to say to you, if you're not going to speak, then I'm going to ask that you would mute yourself, you know, just so for the point and purpose of trying to keep the background noise down. We don't want to, we won't be able to do much of anything about the background noise because we have to, well, bottom line, mute yourself if you're not going to speak. All right, but let's move on. So go ahead and read that scripture again. Let's get to that first parcel of ground. Can you read that for me again, Pastor, please?
Okay. Yes, and verse 3 of chapter 13 in Matthew, and it says, "Behold, a sower went forth and sowed, and when he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside," which is that hard soil, "and the fowls
uh-huh.
came and devoured them up. Some fell
well, you know
on
what? Let's
stony
stop right there. Let's stop right there. "And it fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and ate it up." That means that
mm-hmm.
that seed fell on deaf ears. That seed
yes.
never penetrated the heart. It never had the opportunity. And the enemy sent his imps, his wimps, and all his little people to make sure that that seed was quickly gathered up. It's funny how
yes.
you can go, here's a weird thing, and I'm going to put this out there. I might as well go ahead and put this out there. Have you ever talked to somebody, and they'll come up, "Oh, Lord, we had church today. Oh, we just had church today. Oh, really? What did the pastor preach? I don't remember, but they were shouting, and the music was going, and the drummer was drumming, and the organ player was organ playing,
mm-hmm.
and everybody was just having a holy good time." How are you going to tell me we had church, and you don't even remember what the
mm-hmm.
pastor taught? The whole point and purpose of you being in church was to hear
mm-hmm.
a word from the
mm-hmm.
Lord. Am I right or wrong?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That's so
and if
right.
If you're hearing a word from the Lord, the least you can do is remember what the preacher said. Would you agree?
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
How is it that we can't remember what the preacher said? I tell you why. Because, number one, the ears of your spirit were closed at that particular
mm-hmm.
time when it came down to the ministry of the word. You missed the mark. And sometimes folks don't understand it. You go to church and you think you're ready to hear the word, and it's funny how distractions suddenly take place and suddenly happen right at the time you need to hear that word. I guess
mm-hmm.
that never happens to anybody. to me about that, y'all.
Oh, yeah.
Don't talk to me about
You know what? When you were talking, I thought about how sometimes you look around and you see people on their phones while the message is going forth, and they have their head down, and you're thinking that maybe perhaps they're looking at the Bible, and then you look and you see that they're looking at their phone, and they're distracted, and you even see some texting. And I'm not saying anything about phones, because sometimes there may be a situation where you have to use your phone. But when your phone becomes a distraction in the service, it now becomes a tool for the enemy to keep you from hearing the word, because the word has the power to produce faith. And what he does is, if he doesn't let you hear the word, then you're not able to hear. Bible says faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Yes.
So anything he can do to keep you from hearing the word, and he's going to do it. So if it means your cell phone, if it means getting a text message, if it means you being distracted by anything in that service, it has now become a distraction to keep from hearing the word, so the word cannot take you, so it cannot produce the faith that you're going to need in your life.
And now, I will say this, because there are some that may be listening, regardless of where they may be listening from, whichever outlet that you're listening from, some of you have children. And I'm not going to sit here and say that your children are going to sit there quietly in service, because there are some churches that have children's church. And so your children can go to children's church so that you can concentrate on the word. That by itself is a beautiful thing. But for those churches where the children have to sit with the parents, I mean, I've been down this road myself as a child. I recall how me, my brothers and sisters suddenly got busy trying to slap at one another and mess with one another. And I don't know about y'all, but you know, when mama looks at you and gives you a look that says, I will kill you now if you don't sit down and shut up. Now, for those of you listening, that's not really happened. It's just an expression that we use in the black church. Our mothers would give that look. And if mama gave you that look, she did it only one time. Because the next time, you're going to get that proverbial pinch. And you didn't want that proverbial pinch. I don't know how in the world she can grab the deep part of the muscle tissue and twist it. And it seems like that thing be going out and be hurting for weekends, boy, I'm telling you. But my point is simply this. You're trying to hear the word in your children. They're not necessarily a distraction. What it is your children are, you know, they're not even being used by the enemy. They're just simply being children. Mm-hmm. And in that moment, trying to figure out how to get deliverance from a situation or a circumstance, and then suddenly at that moment, your child decides to do something. Boy, I don't know who that is with that background noise. Lord have mercy. That hard whistle. Anyway, you know, that right there, that hard whistle was a distraction, because for a split second it took me away from what I was talking about. But these are the things that I'm talking about. The enemy knows how to do what he needs to do to make sure that he can get your attention at the wrong time. This is where we have to learn to focus. This is where we have to learn how to not just set our affections on things above, but put ourselves in a position where we hear with the ears of our spirit. That makes sense to anybody?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right.
And this is...
Come on.
Our whole theme is the power of the seed. So the battle is against the seed. If he can keep the seed from germinating, if he can keep the seed from taking root, he's after the seed. He's after the seed. He's after the seed. And so if he can kill that seed, if he can keep that seed from bringing forth, keep it stunning, keep it where it'll only come up and then not get loose. He's after the seed. So we have to protect our heart so that the seed is protected, so that the seed can produce the harvest of God's will, his purpose, his faith, his power, because the seed has the power to produce the God-likeness in our life. He's after seed.
Amen. Seed has a way. You know, it's so important, because without that seed having its proper planting, without that seed being able to be put in its proper place, you know, that hard ground, that harsh ground where the fowl come and eat the seed up, you become a victim. No, you won't even get out the door of the church before you'll be in some type of controversy, some type of turmoil, something that's going to cause you to act and or react to a situation or a circumstance, that all you had to do was be still and know that he is God and know that he's got your back. Because he said he'd never leave you. He said never forsake you. He said he'd always be with you until the ends of the earth. We fail to realize that God is always with us. Now, I'm going to say something that's going to kind of strike some people the wrong way, but I really, really, really need you to hear what I'm saying. If God be for us, then who?
Mm-hmm.
You got to find out who the who is. Who then? If God be for us, who? Who is the who that wants to be against us? All right? Is it that ex-wife? Yeah. Is that ex-husband? Is that an old girlfriend? Is it that old boyfriend? Is it that boss that's been hounding you for days, weeks, months to do something that you don't want to do? Is it that coworker? Who is it? Who is it that thinks they can stand against you and the God in you? You got to allow that seed to get past that hard ground. But in order for you to be to that point where you could say who, you've got to be in a position to be able to address that who, because you properly prepared yourself to receive at the hand of Almighty God. Come on with me, Pastor. Talk to me a little bit more.
That's good. You said a mouthful there. You said a mouthful. Yes, yes, yes. I'm still on the power of that seed. And I tell you, that seed, God's word, has the power to change our lives. And I just want to say, if you find yourself being resentful, if you find yourself being distant, if you find yourself not wanting to be receptive to the word, then recognize that as a tactic of the enemy to get you distracted. But the moment you agree with that word, the moment you allow that word to begin to get closer to you and you begin to receive that word can take root. But the enemy's job is to keep you distant, to keep that ground so hard, as you were saying earlier, that there's no penetration. There's no penetration in that to that seed. There's no growth process that can take place healthily. And so we examine our heart. We got to keep our heart watered with praise and watered with his presence and watered with worship.
Yes.
Watered, hallelujah, with his presence.
Hallelujah.
As we begin to worship him and praise him and stay in his presence, it waters the ground of our heart so that our heart can stay pliable, so our heart don't get so hard and so dry.
Yes.
It doesn't kill out the sea. And hallelujah. It's just something about worship and praise and thanksgiving and getting in his presence and allowing God to do his glory to water the ground of our heart.
My God. You know, something came to mind while you were talking. And primarily, you remember in, I think it was the 22nd chapter of the Gospel of St. Luke, and Jesus turned to Peter and he said, Simon. Simon, behold, Satan hath desired that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed that your faith fail not. People have to recognize one of the reasons why the enemy wants to make sure he removes that seed, as you said earlier, because if that seed germinates, it produces what you're going to need to ward off the enemy and to put the enemy in his place. But now, if Satan has desired to sift each and every one of us, and if you know anything about the sifting process, back in the days of old Israel, they used to take a sickle and cut down the crop, but then they would take a winnowing fork, cut down wheat, and they would take a winnowing fork, and they would toss the wheat up in the air. And after they tossed it in the air, the impact of the wheat hitting the floor would cause the grain to separate from the chaff, and the chaff would blow away. Satan looks at a lot of us as a worthless, useless piece of meat that can't amount to a hill of beans, can't do anything right, can't obey God, can't walk in the word of God, can't walk in the power of God, can't flow with the anointing of God. And he's trying to paint this picture, and he is trying his best to get you like that chaff to just blow away. Jesus said, but I have prayed for you. Y'all remember that old song that the mother used to sing? Somebody prayed for me, had me on their mind, took the time to pray. I'm so glad those old mothers prayed for me. I'm so glad that they graced the altar and cried out before God on my behalf. behalf. I'm so glad that those mothers understood that there was great potential in me, and they wanted to see that potential come forward. So they decided to just hold me up before the God of salvation and pray for me. But now I'm trying to get to this. But I prayed for you, and this is what he prayed for, that your faith fail not, that you not become that hard ground that cannot receive from the hand of God, that cannot receive the word of the Lord. And when he said, when he's saying that your faith fail not, he's simply saying he's praying that your faith will not be reduced to the point and place of inactivity. Because if it gets to the place or point of inactivity, now you become like that hard parcel of ground that we've been talking about for most of the night.
Yes. Hallelujah. And that seed is, yes, it is. Because that seed is authority. Now you don't have no weaponry to fight with because you don't have faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please him. But that seed That seed is that word. How is that sharper than any two-edged sword? And so now you don't have the authority to represent Christ and his kingdom. Because your seed,
My God. My goodness, we are so awesome. Coming close to the end of tonight's session. I know we may seem to be just a little bit early, and we're not really a little bit early. We're just a few minutes from closing down. But, you know, let me give Sister Glenda an opportunity, a chance to share what's on her heart at this particular time, and then we're going to come back and we're going to start drawing this thing to a close. Sister Glenda, anything you want to add, say, or put on the table while we got you?
Okay. Well, all I wanted to say is pray for me that my faith won't fail. Amen.
The only way your faith is going to fail, I'm going to say this, and we might as well go ahead and deal with this. The only way your faith will fail is if you decide not to walk with the Lord. If you decide that you're going to tell God, I don't need you anymore. As long as you know you need him, you already know that he's going to walk with you. Your faith won't fail. Yes. Your faith only fails when you just throw in the towel, when you give up, when you tell God, I can't do this anymore, and you try to go back to what you used to do. And see, there's a scripture that says, as a dog returns to his vomit, so does a man return to his old ways when there is nothing for him to look forward to. And I'm sharing that with you out of Proverbs because there are a lot of folk out there who have gone back to their old ways thinking that there was some comfort in their old ways. It's like the Israelites going back to Egypt. All they had was leeks, garlic, and onion, stuff that made your breath stink. Mm-hmm. Who wants to go and eat something that's going to make your breath stink? Come on here now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I'm just throwing that out there because basically, you know, we're still talking about the power of the seed, and we know our base scripture came out of Proverbs 18 and 21, which simply said, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. And folk got to recognize that what you put out in life, what you release into the stratosphere. I didn't share this with you, Pastor Henderson and Sister Glenda, but I'm going to share this with you right now. This is a good place to put this. I've learned that scientifically, when a sound is released, it has no real place to go except forward, which means that that sound travels through eternity, and it stays out there with no real means of recapturing that sound and bringing it back in. So when we release words from our mouth, whatever we put into the atmosphere has been put out there and cannot be brought back simply because of the fact that if it's brought, we just have no real way of trapping that sound. That makes sense to y'all? Think about this for a minute now. If we can't bring sound back to us, that means what we say stays out there in the stratosphere. It stays out there in the atmosphere until it has opportunity and chance to manifest somewhere. That's why it's important for us to put good word out there. That's why it's important for us to be able to speak a word unto the weary in that due season to let people know that there is a more excellent way, that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. That's why it's important for us to help people to understand. We got to minister grace to the hearers when we release these sounds out of our mouth. People have to hear something in your words that's going to give them hope, that's going to give them comfort, that's going to bring deliverance, that's going to bring healing, that's going to bring wholeness. People need to hear. People need the Lord in this day and age. People need to know that God loves them with an everlasting love. People need to recognize that Jesus died for them. And this is why we preach this gospel with the intensity that we preach it with. We want to get some of you away from that hard ground. Stop turning a deaf ear to the word. The Bible crystal clearly says, in the day that you hear my voice, harden not your heart, as in the day of provocation. If God is speaking to you today, you need to open up and let him in. Let him cultivate that heart, that stony heart, that he can give you a heart of flesh so you can receive the nutrients and the nourishment that you are in need of so that you can become the vessel that's meet for the master's use. My question to you listening tonight, are you ready to lose that hard-heartedness? Are you ready to let go of that hard? Are you ready to break up that fallow ground? Are you ready to let go of all that unnecessary foolishness that you've been dealing with for so long? Are you ready? If you're ready, it's a very simple thing. We can help you to come to know Jesus. Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. Yes. He says, I will give you rest. He turns around and says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What I'm trying to make somebody understand that's listening to us in this day, it doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter where you've been. God is waiting on you. You've been crying out to God for who knows how long, and you've been asking God to deliver you, to bring healing to you, to bring wholeness to you, to bring health to your situation, to do something about your finances. God is standing right there waiting on you. Are you ready? I got to ask that question. Are you ready? There's a very simple prayer that we're going to share with you right now. In this day and in this hour and in these final moments as we get ready to shut it down. And it's simply a prayer of faith. It takes your faith to believe that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. It takes faith for you to trust God to deliver you, to bring you to the place of salvation. And I want to make this very clear to you, too. Some of you are not sure what the salvation entail. Well, if you've ever had a boyfriend, if you've ever had a girlfriend, if you've ever had a wife, or how did you get them? You first made it your business to introduce yourself to them, or they came and introduced themselves to you. And once you met them, they pursued after you. God has been pursuing you from the day you were born. Yes, the Bible says we were born in sin, and we were shaping in iniquity. So God has been pursuing you from the day of your birth. And what I need to make you understand is very simple, that God is still yet pursuing you. And it's a very simple thing, and I call it the ABCs to salvation. A, acknowledge the fact that you are a sinner and you need a Savior. B, believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins. And then C, confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is the Lord. It's that simple. That's all you got to do. You don't have to do anything else besides that. That's all you got to do. So if you're ready, just simply say, God in heaven, I understand and acknowledge the fact that I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I believe Jesus died for my sins. And because I believe Jesus died for my sins, I confess him as Lord of my life. Use me for your glory. Receive and accept me as your child. Jesus, I give you total control over my life. You're the Lord of my life. From this day forward, teach me how to live for you. Teach me how to be the child of God that you want me to be. By faith, I receive you, and I thank you for blessing me. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you break that prayer, I need you to go to my prayer line. It's pwrtostand.com, and leave us a message on our prayer wall. Say, Bishop, I was on your radio podcast. I heard the podcast, and I gave my heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. We got some material that we want to send to each and every one of you. If you will go on our prayer line and if you will go on our prayer wall and let us know that you've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord of your life. Pastor Henderson, is there any final words you want to put out there before we shut down?
No, this has been a great discussion tonight. We thank God for each of our listeners tonight. Thank you for Ms. G. Johnson being with us tonight. And we just praise God for this word tonight. And I just want to encourage each and every one of us just to get deeper, deeper into God's word and let him produce that hundredfold harvest in our lives. The best is yet to come. So keep growing, keep trusting, keep believing, and let God do it in your life.
Amen. This has been Open Mic with the Bishop. I'm Bishop Ernest E. Richard, Jr. I'm going to need everybody to mute their mics at this time as we shut down this final portion here. We want to say to each and every one of you, we look forward to you being with us this coming Sunday. You can join us by way of Zoom, or you can join us by way of social media. Just look for Power to Stand Outreach Ministries. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you. Dr. Kimmy Robinson, go ahead and roll that outro so that we can move. Until next week, on behalf of the Open Mic, I'm Bishop Richard saying have a great, great, great night.
You've been listening to Open Mic with Bishop Ernest E. Richard and Company. If this podcast has been a blessing to you, then please consider sowing into this ministry. A $20 gift or more would be appreciated. You can do so through Cash App. Just use $ Power to Stand or on PayPal, Pritchard719@gmail.com. On behalf of Bishop Richard and the Open Mic panel, I'm Nina Taylor saying have a blessed week. We'll see you soon.